Thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought us together. And there's only one purpose, Lord, for us to be together. And that is you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us and that you are walking a road with us. If we know you and if we don't know you, you have paid the ultimate price on the cross to bring us into your kingdom, to reconcile us with God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. So, this morning I've got quite a lot on my heart, and I'm going to jump a little bit here and jump a little bit there. But what I'm going to share is a lot of testimony-based things that has happened in my life the past couple of years. And just to proclaim God's goodness and his faithfulness, because we serve an amazing, amazing God. My story started before 18 May 2003. If it was 18 May 2003, I would have been 13 in the natural, or just a bit more than 13, but in the spiritual, I'm just a bit over 13 years of age. So, just for interest's sake, I had quite an interesting past. From one day to the next, I was delivered from drinking too much alcohol, smoking 20 cigarettes a day, smoking dacha, messing around with women, watching porn, watching all sorts of crazy things. But Jesus came, and he came to save me, and overnight my life was transformed. Like, if you had to ask any of my friends who the person is that I became from the person who I was, they would say that it is absolutely impossible. And I must thank my parents for all their prayers, because I didn't make it easy for them most of my teenage years. I remember a time when I was walking in the mall, at Somerset Mall, and my mother, I was so ashamed of my family that I walked like 20 steps behind them, and we had to go out the evening to go and eat somewhere. So I was walking 20 steps behind them. I just didn't want to be associated with them. But the bad part, which I didn't realize, was that I look exactly like my mother. So there's just no two ways if we walk in that anybody would not think that I'm her child. So that was like a dead giveaway. In any case, I love my parents to bits. They're really awesome and they're really supportive. They live very close to us. We've got real great opportunity to send our children to them, and they help us to also raise our children with our busy schedules and things like that. But yeah, their schedules are actually a bit more busy than ours, but we get like sometimes some common ground. Both my parents are business people, and when I walked in here, one of the guys asked me if I'm going to give him a business card. So I don't know if it was the suit or what it was, but so I would like to just start with identity in Christ. Now, I've been speaking to many people over the past while, and it was quite scary to see that there are very little people that actually know what the word Jesus means and the word Christ means. Now, I've put it up there. Jesus means Savior, in inverted or in brackets, saving from sin and death. Christ means anointed one, chosen one, to reconcile. That was the purpose of Christ, was to reconcile us with God. And then the third word, which is quite interesting, is Christian. Christian means little anointed ones. And just the fact that we call ourselves Christians is actually really amazing, because that means that we are anointed ones. Now, anointed, for those who don't know what anointed means chosen. When Samuel went to anoint Saul as king, he was chosen to be the king of the Israelites. So Jesus Christ is the chosen one that God sent so that we can come to salvation and that we can meet God. So we as Christians, our main purpose is to reconcile people with God. Ministry of reconciliation. And another interesting fact which I googled is that 86% of people in South Africa in the 2001 census said that they are Christian. Do you know how amazing that is? 86%. That means in South Africa, 9 out of 10 people say that they are Christian. That's amazing. Yes, we all know they might call themselves a Christian because they go to an Easter service or to a wedding or to a funeral. But you know what? 86%, if we round it up, that's 9 out of 10 people in South Africa is Christian. And the challenge is, at work, we are so scared to say what is on our heart, what is on the heart of Christ. Because we're scared to offend 1.4 people. Out of 10, we're scared to offend 1.4 people. If you just look at the stats. So, fortunately, we live in South Africa, and a lot of things are going for us. Yes, the economy and politics and all of that, we know where that is. But you know what? If we just go on that stat, we've got a lot that is going for us. And we always need to look, as Christians, at that glass, not half empty, but half full. And that's the message that I want to bring this morning. What is our perception? What is the challenge that we face? Now, before I continue with that, Jaco, what is the end time this morning? Yeah. 11:15. Okay. So, just want to tell you a quick testimony of what happened yesterday. It's quite a funny story, and I'll try to do it as quick as possible. So yesterday I went to surf with some of my friends, which I haven't done for quite a while, and we ended up not surfing, and I arranged a gardener for our garden so that my wife can have an assistant, because I don't have green fingers. I'm not passionate about gardening. And I phoned one of my friends and asked if he is in home renovations and things, if he knows somebody that is looking for a job. So he said, no, he knows about this one guy. He's a Malawian guy, and he keeps on bugging him. But he can ask, I can ask him to come. So yeah, I phone Good Gracious, and Gracious comes, and my wife had to go and pick him up at the post office. And so she picks him up at 8 o'clock, and I get home at 9 o'clock. We never actually surfed. We ended up just drinking coffee at the restaurant. I get there, and I can see my wife is upset. She's just not getting along, and she's like in the space. She's actually upset with me because I just dropped her, and she has to now organize this guy with a weed eater and the lawnmower and all of that. And I can see this oak is struggling. He doesn't know anything. So I stopped there. I said, wife, you can go inside. I will take over, and we'll just quickly sort this out. I'll show him how the lawnmower works. And as I walk up to, let's call the guy Opa. As I walk up to Opa, Opa hasn't bathed for a very long time. And unfortunately or fortunately, I've got an extremely good nose. And that's either a blessing or a curse. It just depends how you look at it. So I decide Opa needs a new outfit and Opa needs to wash. So I take Opa to our shower, give him some clothes, give him some soap, brand new outfit. And I tell my wife, "Wifey, these clothes, can you please wash it so that Opa can go home with clean clothes?" He's from Malawi and he's got 4 children. Praise God. And my wife goes and she washes his clothes. And we sit and I'm busy preparing for my sermon. And we hear the washing machine. Toop, 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 toop. That was a bit loud. And my wife said, "I think I just washed Opa's cell phone." So we ended up washing Opa's cell phone. I take the knocker out and it is just like it's water all over. So now I have to go and break the news to Opa that I've washed his cell phone, which is probably his only possession. So we ended up saying to Opa that we're going to get him a new cell phone. And I went to Pep Stores yesterday to get Opa a new cell phone. And you know how difficult it is to get a cell phone. You need an ID, you need proof of residence in paper format. I mean, everything these days are on electronic format. And I ended up going back home to get the ID, got Opa's, and as I got to my car, I saw another friend of mine in town, and he's busy talking to a woman. So we ended up having street ministry with a woman that was walking in Somerset West Town, and just a lot of things happened in her life, and we just released her into a new season. So there I go back home, get my ID, come back, get the cell phone, give it to Opa. He's awesomely happy. He goes with me to offload all the rubbish that has been accumulated at the dump site. And everything becomes late. And my wife first had to go to the gym and this and that. And so we ended up only leaving at like 4:45. And Opa actually needed to be at home at 5 o'clock. So we ended up getting to the dump site, which is quite far. It's literally about 15 kilometers from my house. So they tell me, "No, it's closed." But I looked on the internet and they almost told me that I needed to go back. But fortunately, I could sweet talk one of the securities and they let me through and I could take all the stuff to the dump site. So here I come back and I haven't prepared as much as I would have liked for my sermon. And I had a crazy week and I didn't have a computer. I just got a computer. And long story short, I get home and this is the fruit of the flesh. So I get home, I take the trailer off the tow bar, and here the trailer starts running, and I sort of get it stopped, and I see my wife is standing in the garage and she's checking this thing out, and I get upset with my wife because why doesn't she come and help me? I'm struggling. She said, "Just get a piece of wood." And she comes and she throws or helps me, and I put the piece of wood under the trailer's wheel, and I'm like upset. She tunes me, "When you get into the house, just come in with a better attitude." And I'm really upset. And I take the trailer and I have to clean the trailer because there's a lot of stinky stuff that we had to go and dump, compost and whatever. And I'm cleaning this trailer, and here I break something off the trailer. And that, my friends, is the fruit of the flesh. When we start to operate in the flesh, that is what the fruits are. So, I'm very far from perfect. I daily work out my salvation, and I really, really love Jesus. So let's continue with the message. Over the past 13 years, I've been employed at one company. I just finished studying, got horribly drunk, got a job. A month after that, I came to salvation. And I ended up working at a fiberglass company. I don't know, who knows fiberglass? Has anybody, have you touched fiberglass? Doesn't feel nice, eh? I've ended up working for 13 years at a fiberglass company, and my biggest goal after I came to salvation was to see the MD and the owners of this company coming to salvation. And when I started, I knew the owner of the company, and I ended up, I got to work the first day and nobody knew that I was coming. I ended up sitting half a day in the reception area. And then I started working. And all my friends at that time were qualified. I studied at university and I completed my degree in business. And all my friends started off on a salary of about 5,000 rand. And I started on a laborer's salary of 2,800 rand odd. That was about the amount that I was paid at my first job. And the reason why I tell that, it's got nothing to do with anything but a lot to do with what I'm going to share next. And this past 13 years at this company, it's quite a biggish company. I started at the bottom of that company. I didn't come in at the top. I just started and I just worked. Whatever they asked me, I did. If it was to clean something that was full of fiberglass, if it was something that was dirty with grease, anything, I just did as my superiors said. And I can remember the times when, and the reason why I could do this, I must say, was because of the grace of God and what He has done in my life. And so I ended up working at this company, and there were so many times that I actually wanted to run away. There was times where I really got treated bad. There was times where my whole family said, "Eugene, you better get yourself another job because you're losing hair at a rapid pace." I mean, I'm turning 37 and I look like my opa a couple of years ago when he was still alive. And they all told me, go. And I even went so far once to, I went for an interview and the people offered me double my salary, which was not 2,000 whatever a month at that stage. And they offered me double my salary and God just said, stay. So I stayed, and in 13 years I have learned to suffer well. If we can go to that slide, suffer well, faith. You can skip a couple of slides. We'll get back there. Okay, there we go. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Romans 5, from verse 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If we go to the next slide, 2 Corinthians 13 from 1, 2 Corinthians 13, 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts all in all our tribulations, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, the only way that I could go through very, very difficult seasons was the reason for that was that my identity in Christ was being formed, and it's continuously being formed. But because my identity in Christ was there, I could manage. 13 years is a long time to work in an itchy factory. My boss, whom I really, really love to bits, is not a believer yet. His nickname used to be Fireman Noor, because wherever he went, he just fired people left, right, and center. And he was my superior for the past 13 years, and I was really challenged in every area of my identity. Now, if we go to that first slide, identity in Christ, which says, John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when we come to salvation, there's something that we realize. We realize we come to the acceptance that Christ has died for us. And that is the greatest love that one could ever, ever experience. Now, if I had to go to somebody walking in the street now and I tell him Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself," they're going to tell me, "You crazy?" The only time that we can do that is when we have found the one that has saved us, the one that loves us. When we know that, the rest is history, because that becomes our driving force. I've gone through difficult seasons, I've gone through good seasons, I've gone through suffering, I've gone through joy, but there's only one constant. And there's only one thing that I praise God for every day, and that is that I have been saved. Saved from hell, saved from sin, and saved from death. And that's my only passion and my only driving force, is to bring the good news of the gospel to the world. And so this being my driving force for the past 13 years, and my only heart was for my superiors to come to salvation. And I've seen many things happen to colleagues on the floor, production staff. I've seen praying for people being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen many amazing miracles. But the one thing that I really, really desire has not happened yet. I've brought words to management. I've brought words to just about everybody in the company. But the leadership of that company has not accepted Christ yet. And that's my purpose. And about 8 months, a year ago, when Jaco and myself went to India, I was always struggling with this thing of having business and being in ministry. I saw these two things as separate entities. I never realized that business and ministry could be one thing. And when I went to India with Jaco, the Lord started to reveal something about ministry and business being connected to each other. And then God started to prepare me that there is a new season that is being birthed. And at times I really have been frustrated at work, but also amazing times, amazing stuff that has happened. And then he started telling me that a new season is about to birth. And I just got so excited for this new season. Because I love business and I love ministry, and seeing these two connecting to each other, it sort of changed my whole mindset. And about 8-9 months ago, I almost partnered with a friend to go into business, but that just never realized. But my heart always has been for my bosses to come to salvation. So about 4 or 5 months ago, I get a word in church from Pastor Heinrich, met wie ons tyd is. And he says that I'm a fighter pilot that is in the air, and I've been shot to pieces, but there's holes in my wings and I need to come to a land just to refuel. But I don't want to, because I'm just so excited about fighting and going and just being part of what's happening. So, and then he said, but I'll come and land and I'll enter a season of rest. And so we ended up having a planned holiday that started a month after that word. And I thought, yo, this is now the time. And in this time, my wife also got a word, and she said that she believes that I'm standing square and blocking the salvation of my bosses. Yes, that was tough. Can you imagine? Now you know my wife. I shared a bit earlier how my wife, she's direct. So she brings this word and my heart like, no, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I must actually read you a letter that I wrote in February 2010, a letter to God. This is where I was February 2010. Dear God, I'm so tired. I keep on trying, but I have once again come to the end. I do not know where to go, because again last night I couldn't sleep because of anxiety attacks from work. I pray and I pray, but it wouldn't go away. I dread to go to work. On some mornings like this one, there's a boss waiting to break me down and kill me with words. How worthless I feel once he starts with his first firing attacks. Oh, how I just feel to quit. No more stress about some stupid machine that is not producing what it was supposed to. No more people absent from work and not pulling their weight. And best of all, no boss shooting me down to let me know that it is all because of me, or at least that is how I'm made to believe. God, my dream is to live your will and nothing but your will, which I believed is to serve where I am now. But you know, Lord, that I'm not making a difference which is visible at all. Do I decide to throw in the towel and call it a day? What will I have missed if I do so? Or was it supposed to happen a long time ago? Are we supposed to get a glimpse of your glory? Please, Lord, I do not want to make a mistake. Please help me, Lord. Psalm 42, David, in all his distress at the time, could say the following verse in verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Yet within me I do not believe this, but I know that it is true. He is the only one that can make a difference. I love you, Lord. Now, when I look at that letter, I think, sure, this dude was really in a tough space. And it was genuinely a place of absolute hopelessness, but also in a place of absolute surrender and absolute obedience. So my wife gets this word that I'm standing square in the people's salvation, and I've made this commitment to God that I'm in this for the long haul. And God starts talking about this new season. So ended up just having this amazing time with God a couple of weeks ago, and he just said that he releases me into the next season, but he doesn't tell me what this new season is. Just says, I release you in this new season. I'm so excited. A couple of people get confirmation words, but God downloaded it first into my heart. And the Monday morning, I walk into my boss's office and I say, Richard, this morning, I first go and make him some coffee and close the doors. And I sit him down and I say, Richard, I'm resigning from work and I would like to work out a month notice and then 2 months part-time just to make sure that the handover is ready, and I'm going into ministry and business. Yeah, he jumps up behind the desk. He says, Hallelujah! There's so much ministry opportunity in this factory. You are welcome to minister in our factories. How crazy is that? Not a person that is a believer. He says, come and minister at my factory. Later the afternoon, he takes me out for lunch and he says, okay, Eugene, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to tell the staff about your resignation? Okay. I say, okay, we're going to sell this as an opportunity, because if I leave, it means that they can all grow and take the next step. He said, yes, that's an awesome idea. Let's do it that way. And by the way, do you know, we've got this business opportunity that we're not entering that market because of this and that reason. Can't we send you into that market? We'll supply the raw materials. You just sell it. Like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. So on that day, God just started to move. The next morning, I wake up in my quiet time, which is at 5 o'clock every morning. And God just started to download a message, what He wants me to do in the next season. And He just lays on my heart that I must bring the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring people back to God, to bring management and staff on the same level, on the same platform. That's the business part of it. The next morning I wake up and he starts to download what I'm gonna do and how I'm gonna do it. And he starts to give me like keys that I would never ever have thought out by myself. He just comes and he gives these keys. He's downloaded so many entrepreneurial ideas in the past couple of weeks, which is going to make a huge difference in many people's lives, which is the gospel. But I need to backtrack. And this testimony that I'm telling you now is only the beginning, but I need to continue with the history. So I was speaking about identity in Christ, and if you can go to identity and gifts, that slide, it's the fifth slide. Do you guys know what your gifts are? My gift of the Father is that I'm an exhorter. I love to encourage people. I love to lift people up. But there's seven other gifts, and each one of you have those gifts. These redemptive gifts are given. Every person have those gifts, saved or unsaved. Go and listen to Arthur Burke's teachings, but go and read Scripture, Romans 12. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know your gifts of the Holy Spirit? There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, gift of miracles, gift of faith, gift of healings, gifts of healings. Speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, discernment of spirits. Come and do SOS next weekend in Stellenbosch. Then the five gifts of Jesus, Ephesians 5. Some is apostles, some is prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now, my Holy Spirit gift is word of knowledge. When I came up, I prayed for a couple of people, and God just revealed certain words or certain things that is busy happening in their lives. And God wants to release all of us in those gifts. And the office that I'm walking in, the gift of Jesus, is evangelist. I love to lead people to Christ. After Richard gave me that opportunity to minister at work, I ended up in Westbank, not the bank, the area Westbank. And I ended up leading somebody that worked by us and his whole family to Christ. 3-4 weeks ago, I ended up not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, stopping a father from killing his son with an axe and a knife. They hid his axe and his knife away because he wanted to kill his son. He said he doesn't worry to go to prison. I ended up ministering to him. He tells me he's going to feel so much better if he kills his son now. And I say, I don't want to speak to you. I want to speak to John. I'm going to feel better. And he's like this voice, and he's like upset. And he says, I know a lot of people that has done that, and they feel much better today. So God just tells me, so take me to that person. Now I'm here in the area where they live. Take me to that person that feels much better after they have killed somebody. He just kept quiet. He couldn't. He said, no, let's go now. Let's go and speak to that person that feels so much better. And the end of this is a week ago or 2 days ago, I heard that his sister works by us, that he's been clean now for a week from alcohol and dacha, and he's visited the church once or twice. So that's just what God comes and does when we are obedient and we start to know who we are in Christ, when we find our identity in Christ. If we can go to slide 8. Now I've seen over the years, I've seen this certain key things that we need to realize, and these are keys for the next season, keys that we need to grasp before God can release us into that next season. And if we go and look at the model prayer, Matthew 6 verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you know that most people that I meet, within the first 5 minutes of conversation, I can understand where they are. And mostly people that don't experience breakthrough is struggling with forgiveness. There's somebody in their life that they haven't forgiven. Be it a father, be it in business, be it a pastor, be it somebody that they haven't forgiven and reconciled that relationship. With that gentleman that I was talking to you about with a ministry that wanted to kill his son, he had to ask his son for forgiveness, and he had to ask his son to forgive him for the wrongs that he did in his life. I ended up losing my shoes 2 days ago, 2 days prior to that, also in one of my staff's homes, where the son and the father had a massive fight, and the son hit the father lights out because the father was drunk and the son was full of dacha. And I reconciled both of them exactly on the same principle, forgiveness. The father had to forgive, ask forgiveness to his son, and the son had to forgive his father. And that hug that they had for the first time in years just broke my heart. And the son doesn't want to go to school because he doesn't have shoes, so I ended up giving my shoes to the son so that he can go to school. And it's not to say that I'm this good person, but we need to see the opportunities. We need to see the opportunities. There's ample opportunities for ministry. Last night there was a WhatsApp that came through for leftover hot dogs on our in our church at some gathering, and they had 40 hot dogs. So they posted, anybody that wants to buy hot dogs at church tomorrow can please come and buy hot dog for 10 rand. I'm thinking, how's those hot dogs going to taste tomorrow afternoon after church? So let's just buy the whole lot. Phone the guy, how many hot dogs are there? He said, okay, there's so many. So I said, no, I'm purchasing all the hot dogs and take it to the shelter. Because there's people that's hungry. There's so many opportunities to minister. We just need to step out in faith. Step out of our comfort zones. And God does the rest. He seriously does the rest. I mean, for me to buy all the hot dogs and not having an income is crazy. But I know God will provide. He's already provided. After I've made that commitment to step out in faith, He's already provided for the next 2-3 months that I know that there's going to be income that is coming in. But I didn't know that beforehand. I had to step out in faith. So the second thing over there is submission. Therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. You know how many times I've been in a situation where my boss made a decision that was going to really be bad for me and even for the organization. And I just said, I will do it. I will just do it. Because he is my leader, I will do it. I'm not saying that I didn't go to God. So I go to God and I say, Lord, I will do what he says, this, this, and the following. The next moment, or the next day, he walks in and he says, no, I think that's a bad idea. Let's go this way. I mean, when I resigned, 3 weeks after that, I came in late Friday afternoon because I'm so excited about ministry. And my boss is busy talking to my team and they haven't performed their work very well. I come in there, he says, no, but that's your responsibility. You're still on the payroll, so you need to sort out these people. Why are you not sorting them out? In front of everybody. Just keep quiet and I pray. They all leave. Tells me, Eugene. Now God starts speaking. Eugene, you've got amazing 13-year reputation. I can't allow for your reputation to go down. So I'm going to take you out of your position as GM of this company. And you can sit upstairs and do your thing upstairs. I'll manage them. But I'll still pay you. And the next month and the month thereafter. How crazy is that? That's just when God comes and we come in a place of submission. I was ministering to somebody on Friday evening, and the husband and the wife they're talking about separation. It's still talks. And they've got wonderful children, and the problem is that the wife doesn't want to submit to the husband. And with rightful reason, very good reason, why not? And one of the things was that the car is giving problems, and the husband must fix the car. And the husband says, no, he's not going to fix the car because the car is old and there's no need for any fixing. He can't see. And it's not that the husband doesn't have money to fix the car. He's got plenty money. So we ended up ministering. He said, forgive your husband, submit to your husband, and God will come and he will make a way. Even with that car, he will come and he will make a way when you submit to your husband. The following morning, the husband is not at home for a week or what. So the following morning, the husband SMSs. I found on this website that there's a problem with this, with our type of car, and they fixing it for free. I'm going to send the car there. How amazing is God? But it comes in that place where we submit. Amen. Honor your leadership. I've never ever in my life asked for an increase at work. Never. Never once. And I can tell you with that my last paycheck is not 2,800 rand anymore. But I've never ever asked for an increase at my work. And even with my last pay, I know that I'm about 40% underpaid, market related. But I do get a good income. But I do know that. But you know, I've never ever asked for an increase. There was one stage where our company was literally printing money from material that was scrap that we converted into a product that we sold for import prices, and we had raw materials at zero value. We were printing money. Literally. Fiberglass became like white money. And do you know what? I was never sour. I was never in that place where I thought, no, that money belongs to me. I've been itching for 10 years or 5 years or whatever. I just serve. You put your head down and you serve. You submit and you honor. Difficult. But the fruits of that is great. The fruit of it is amazing. The last thing that I want to say is trust. I was driving home one afternoon about 7-8 years ago, and my boss phones me and he says, did you do this, this, and that? And I said, yes, I've done this, this, that, and the other. He said, no, but you sure? Did you really do it? I said, yes, I've done it. I would have told you if I haven't done it, but I have done it. Can I go and check? Like, yes, you can go and check. So I put the phone down and I'm upset because I've been working with this man for 4 years at that stage. How can he not trust me? And I'm literally sobbing by God. And the next moment God drops in my spirit and he says, Eugene, the same way that he doesn't trust you, you don't trust me. And I had to work a couple of years through that place of really trusting Christ. Because he's the only hope. I've been challenged in every area of my life. Relationally, my wife almost died 2 years ago. I've been tested at work. I've been tested in church. I've been tested in just about every area. But what I do know is in those areas that we are tested, are the areas that God comes and he brings testimony. He brings salvation. Because scripture is very clear. And we know that all things, not some things, all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now this morning, I just want to end off in prayer and ministry. If you can close your eyes, the band can come up. Yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your perfect love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we're standing here this morning, Lord God, sitting, Lord, you've got a plan and you've got a purpose. Lord, those areas that we have not trusted you fully, Lord God, even those areas, Lord God, where we are upset with you, Lord, those people, Lord, that we have not forgiven, that keeps up coming in our mind. We are so upset with valid reasons. We're just so upset. Lord, I ask that this morning that you show us the way. Lord, it is your goodness that leads us to repentance. It's your kindness and your goodness, Lord, that leads us back to you. Lord, you are the only way. You are the only good news in a world that really needs good news. And this morning, I'd like to ask if anybody is struggling with forgiveness, if you can come for ministry. And then if there's anybody that feels that they are in a dead end road, I feel that they have done everything they could, but it's just a dead end road. And then there are some people that just wants God to release them. God has been speaking about this new season. If you just want me to pray with you for this new season that is about to begin, and I would like you to come forward so that I can just pray with you. It's nothing that I can do, but it's only Jesus, it's only His Spirit that can set us free and take us on His journey, which is the most epic journey. Even when it is tough, be in that place of surrender, to be in that place of absolute peace. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. There's somebody here that is very, very difficult for you because you struggle to forgive your father. He might not even be alive anymore, but you really struggle to forgive him. But God wants to bring a release in your life. Yes. If anybody would like to come forward for prayer, any prayer, you're welcome to come forward.